Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The heavens declare the glory of God in our Real Science Radio trip to Totality in Nebraska was beyond expectations. Wow. On our drive back from North Platte, we decided to stay Monday night to avoid possible traffic. Of course, the worst traffic was from Wyoming down to Denver, where the normal two-hour drive from Cheyenne to Denver was taking people 9 and 10 hours on Monday. So we decided to come back this morning. And on the way back, we wanted to hear people talking about the eclipse. So I knew that Ross Kaminsky on KHAL Radio, AM 630, I knew that he would be talking about it because he did a great job leading into it. Although, as an atheist, he doesn't see the eclipse as evidence for the Creator. So I was thankful I was able to call in and get onto the program, and we had a brief chat. Ross Kaminsky is respectful to believers, unlike many of the atheists we've interviewed over the last 26 years here on Bob and Yurt Live. So I'd like you to hear the call. And then Ross at the end suggests that I send him an email so he could consider doing a follow-up show of how the eclipse is an example of the fine-tuning that many physicists, even atheists, have said appears to exist in the universe, that things appear to be fine-tuned. So let's listen to this, and then Ross asks me for an email with some of these details, and I'll read you the email that I sent to him as my wife Cheryl was driving on I-80, then I-76, headed back to Denver. So let's go now to KHAL Radio.
Where were you for the eclipse yesterday, and how was the experience? Did it live up to your expectations? Let's start by talking to Bob. Hey, good morning, Bob. You're on with Ross. Where were you?
Hey, Ross. We're still in Nebraska, headed home. We saw the eclipse on the lakefront, the leading diamond, the trailing diamond. It was all brilliant. It surpassed expectations.
Were you at Lake McConaughey or a different lake?
We were at Maranatha Bible Camp. And it's a gorgeous lake.
And where is that? I don't know Nebraska very well, but is
10 miles east of North Platte.
Gotcha. Okay. Did you go into it with very, very high expectations? Or
Yes, of course we were, and it was beyond that. And I'd like to suggest a topic for a future show, a follow-up show.
Sure.
There are many physicists, even atheist physicists, who talk about the apparent fine-tuning of the universe, including the fine-tuning of the Earth, the solar system, the sun-moon-Earth system, and the eclipse gives us an example of that, because the sun is about 400 times further away than the moon, and it's about 400 times the diameter of the moon, and it's because of that incredible ratio that we could see a perfect solar total eclipse. Of all the other moons in our solar system, there's over 170 that NASA counts. Not one produces a total solar eclipse, and the only one that happens is on the only planet that has observers to learn from it and to enjoy it.
Interesting. Is that right? Not one produces an eclipse, or not one produces an eclipse with the effect where it's almost the same? The moon
latter.
Appears to be almost the same size as the sun.
The latter, not one
right.
Produced the total solar eclipse. So if you were to hold a BB in your hand, a foot from your eye, and take a 6-foot beach ball and put it 400 feet down the beach from you, that's the ratio where the BB would cover up the ball. And that's what it's like with the moon and the sun. The precision is extraordinary.
So, okay, so as long as we're going to delve into a little philosophy and almost religion here for a second, Bob, does that strike a chord with you? Does it make you feel like maybe there's some, I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, consciousness or something?
Yeah, that there's a designer, because that, of all the extraordinary extraordinary examples of fine-tuning in the universe, from physics to biology. That is one of the least amazing. And they are truly, truly amazing. And so even astrophysicists like Stephen Hawking has said, he wrote, the remarkable fact is that when you look at the numbers, they appear to be finely adjusted. And there are dozens and dozens of extraordinary coincidences that you have to believe in if you don't believe in a designer. So a follow-up show on the alleged fine-tuning of the universe would be extraordinary, because most people haven't even heard, with the eclipse, most people haven't even heard what makes the moon perfectly cover up the sun, that if the sun is 400 times further away, and the moon is 1/400 the diameter of the sun, approximately.
And we actually, Bob, because you know we're way ahead of the curve on this show, I actually mentioned that on this show last week. Awesome. I think I only mentioned it once, so you might not have heard it, but I did mention it. And I think it's an interesting time. So you and I are, let's say, of different views on the issue, but I do think it would be an interesting discussion. I like the idea. I could get someone on the show who wants to argue that this shows some kind of design, and I could get someone else who says it doesn't. And I do think that would be interesting, and I will try to get that done.
Russ, real quick, two things about the sun.
Okay.
The sun's rotation on its axis is tilted from the ecliptic. All the planets orbit around the sun on the ecliptic. The sun rotates 7 degrees off the ecliptic.
Okay.
So astronomers know that if the solar system formed naturally because of the conservation of angular momentum, it should all be rotating on the same plane. It's not. And also, if the sun condensed from a nebula, the nebular hypothesis, then the sun should have 99% of the spin of the solar system, and the planets only 1%, but the reality is the opposite. The sun is almost not spinning compared to the planet.
Okay, so here's what I need from you, Bob.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to remember that in that level of detail. I need you to send me an email at ross@khow.com with those two points.
Will do.
And then when I get these folks on the show, I will ask a solar physicist those questions, and we'll get you the answers. Thanks
fabulous.
For the suggestion,
thanks,
Bob.
Russ.
Hey, I appreciate it. And let me just take a quick moment, as long as we're delving into philosophy. I'll respond to Bob. And you can call in for the rest of the show. Let me just respond briefly there to Bob. So this idea that there's a designer, and I realize a lot of people believe this, so I just want to make sure we're clear before I go any further. When I disagree...
Okay, what Ross is about to say is when he disagrees with people who believe in God, it's very respectful. He says when he deals with someone who says the earth is flat, he has no time for them. That's absurd. We here at Bob and Yurt Live say that's an expression of mental illness, to think that the earth is flat. But he says when he speaks to theists that he's respectful and he will hear them out. So I appreciate that. We have been on the air for 26 years, 5 days a week, on this 50,000-watt blowtorch, AM 670 KLTT. And we have talked to hundreds of atheists over the years, and many, as on our debate show, many are mocking, ridiculing, and insulting, and so it's very difficult to have a reasoned discussion. I was thankful that Ross suggested that I send him a follow-up email, and because Cheryl was driving, I was able to do that, used my cell phone as a hotspot, logged on, went to Gmail. So let me read to you the email I sent at 11:20 a.m. Tuesday morning, August 22nd, to Ross. Great eclipse shows, Ross. Scientific observations that challenge the nebular hypothesis of a gas cloud condensing to form our solar system include these few. And then I gave him four examples. The first, the 400-to-1 coincidence ratios, one of the many examples of apparent fine-tuning, where the ratio of the distance to the diameter has to be the same between the sun and the moon from Earth. So because the sun is 400 times more distant and the moon is 1/400 the diameter, therefore we can have a total solar eclipse. So that's my first example to Ross. And I say that is one of many examples of apparent fine-tuning. And those three words are a link. Apparent fine-tuning goes to our website, our article on the evidence for the fine-tuning of the universe, the solar system, and the Earth. So if he clicks on that, he'll see all the evidence he could ever want, all the examples of fine-tuning. When people say there's fine-tuning, when physicists say that, they have many, many examples, and this extraordinary ratio between the sun and the moon and the Earth, that's one of those many, many examples. By the way, afterward, what Ross said was, he gave an example, and atheists have long done this. They say, you know, you don't expect, if you flip a coin, head or tails, you don't expect to have it come up heads 10 times in a row. Or if you shuffle a deck of cards, the chances that you will get that exact order of cards is less than the chance of picking out one atom in the entire universe. They say that. But lo and behold, they say, when you shuffle the deck of cards, you end up getting some arrangement. And so they say, see, the most extraordinarily unlikely thing happens all the time. Now, what they omit, what they forget to tell you, and I think what most of them don't consider, is that when you shuffle the deck of cards and look at the order, 100% of the time there is an order, 100% of the time. So they're doing something that 100% of the time gives them a result that they want. It's like the order of grains of sand on the beach. Wildly unlikely to get that order, but you mix them up a little bit and you still have the grains of sand on the beach. So information is very different. What are the chances of getting the letters of the alphabet in the order they are in a dictionary? But if you mix them up, you don't get the dictionary. It's broken. So functional complexity, when there's virtually an infinite number of possibilities and you have just the one that works, that's very different than the example Ross Kaminsky gave. He said, how many people do you need in a room to where it's more likely than not that two of them will have the same birthday? And he said the number is 23. And what's interesting about that is, of all the possible birthdays that people could have, there's not an infinite number of possibilities. There's 366, right? 365 plus February 29th. On leap years. So there's a tiny number of possibilities, tiny. And the fine-tuning examples that we list go into the trillions times quadrillions times Googles of possibilities. I'll give you one example. The cosmological constant. The atheists who say that the universe formed from the Big Bang, they say, if there was too much matter that formed, it would all clump together in a massive black hole and there'd be no stars, no galaxies, no planets, no life. But if there was too little matter, the universe, everything would keep expanding from the Big Bang. There wouldn't be enough gravity to pull it all together. So they refer to the cosmological constant, which weighs that ratio. And they say it has to be tuned to 1 in 10 to the 120th. That's 10 with 120 zeros. How many particles do they say are in the whole universe? Well, they say about 10 to the 80th. So the cosmological constant, they claim, and these are the world's leading astrophysicist atheists, they claim it has to be tuned to 1 in 10 to the 120th. You know what that means? That in the Big Bang, if it had happened, which it didn't, but if it had, if the matter created was a single grain of sand more than actually was created, the matter of a grain of sand, the entire universe would fall in on itself in a massive black hole and there'd be no life, no planets, no stars, no galaxies. It'd just be a clump of matter. if there was one grain of sand too little. In the Big Bang, they don't claim it created grains of sand. It created matter. But in other words, the mass of a grain of sand, that tiny little speck of mass, if the Big Bang had created one grain of sand less mass in the entire universe, then no planets would ever form, no stars, no galaxies, because there wouldn't be enough matter for gravity to pull things together. Now, is that absurd? And that's absurd in the nth degree. That's absurdity times absurdity squared times absurdity cubed. It's utterly absurd. Yet, to be an atheist, many believe that that happened by random chance. And if that was the only necessary chance for the fine-tuning, it'd be absurd to believe it was by chance, but it's not. It's one of dozens of the most extraordinary examples of the fine-tuning of physics and our solar system and life and the Earth. It's all brilliant and unbelievable. The reason so many atheists have gone to the multiverse, why they believe there's an infinite number of universes, and every instant there are universes popping into existence, the reason they now believe in the multiverse is as an answer to the fine-tuning problem. Because the evidence that the universe is fine-tuned is overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And how could it be that you had a Big Bang and you get all of these parameters, all of these numbers right on? How could it be? So their answer to that, which is equally nonsense, is this: that if you have an infinite number of universes, by dumb luck, you're bound to get the one that has all these perfect numbers. And so here we are, by dumb luck, we're the one. And so that's the reason that thousands of these scientists have gone to believe in the multiverse. It's not a matter of science, it's a matter of blind faith. They believe in the multiverse out of blind faith. So, and one other observation. Many of these same people will tell you that they don't believe in truth. They don't even know they exist. Like the curator of the Denver Museum of Natural History, when I was there with 100 people and a reporter from the local media. And I asked him, well, then do you exist? And he said, I don't know. So many of them will say that truth doesn't exist, absolute truth. They'll say they don't even know if they exist. They don't know if the universe exists, but they do know that evolution is true. There's a multiverse, and homosexuality is good. They know all those things, but they don't even know if there's truth or if they exist. How's that? And that is the end of the road for the denial of the Creator. Because when you deny the Creator, then there's no foundation for truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the truth. And without him, there is no foundation for truth. In an atheistic, materialist world, you look at their presuppositions and you realize they're hanging on nothing. So I want to continue with my email to Ross. Sorry I went off topic, but I gave him four bullets. He asked, please write down these examples so I could consider a follow-up show on the apparent fine-tuning of the universe and the solar system. So of the four I gave him, the first was the 400-to-1 coincidence ratios. The atheist thinks it's a coincidence. And I said that is one of many examples of apparent fine-tuning. And if Ross clicks on that link, he'll go to our webpage, kgov.com/fine-tuning, and find many, many examples. Number two, the conservation of angular momentum should give the sun 99% of the spin energy of the solar system, but it only has 1%. Number three, if the nebular hypothesis were true, then the planets should have about 1% of the solar system's mass, and so they should have about 1% of the angular momentum, the spin, but they have 99%. Do you understand what that means? When a train is barreling down a railroad track, it has momentum, But relatively speaking to your frame of reference, looking at the train, it has pretty minimal angular momentum. But when you spin a top on a table, that top has a lot of angular momentum. The energy involved in its angular, circular movement. And so by the law of the conservation of angular momentum, when a spinning gas cloud condenses, if it condenses into a star that has 99% of the original mass of the cloud, the star will have 99% of the spin energy. And if 1% of that original cloud condensed into the planets would have 1% of the spin energy of the original cloud. But the opposite is true. The sun has almost no spin energy. It's almost like it's standing still. And the planets have about 99% of the spin energy. So these are powerful scientific discoveries that refute the materialist claim of origins. Powerful. I mean, isn't it a major discovery to be able to measure the angular momentum of the planets, of Jupiter, which has the most of the planets, and Mercury, which has the least, and of all the planets, and add them up and compare it to the angular momentum of the sun? I mean, you have to achieve a significant degree of astronomical insight and astrophysical insight to even understand these things. And then the fourth example I gave was that the planets in the sun, if they condensed from this rotating gas cloud, which is what the atheists believe, if the planets and sun, as they condensed from a gas cloud that was rotating, they should all rotate on the same axis that the cloud was rotating on. But the sun rotates 7 degrees off of the axis of the planets. That is dramatically significant. So if the whole thing originated how the materialist thinks, from a condensing gas cloud, then the sun and the planets would be rotating in the same plane, on the same axis. Then something would have to come along and take our massive sun and tilt it 7 degrees. How do you do that? It's a gas ball. How do you grab it and tilt it? Or they'd have to take all the planets as a group and tilt all the planets. If something like an errant star came by, it would and its gravity affected the planets, it would fling some planets one direction, other planets another direction. The Earth wouldn't retain a nearly perfect circular orbit around the sun with only a 2-degree eccentricity. If the Earth's orbit around the sun were stretched, if it were an exaggerated ellipse so that it looked stretched, then we would burn up when we approached perihelion, our closest approach to the sun, and we'd become a frozen ice cube when we reached the aphelion, our furthest point from the sun. But the Earth's orbit is this extraordinarily stable circular orbit with only 2 degrees eccentricity. It's just brilliant the way God designed it all. So then, going back to my email to Ross, so those 4 points, they're each very brief. I expounded on them for you guys right now. But then I gave him 2 quotes. The one I said to him in that segment, Stephen Hawking, the most famous atheist astrophysicist, wrote, "The remarkable fact is that the values of these numbers seem to have been very finely adjusted." And he was speaking of the apparent fine-tuning of the laws of physics. And I said to Ross that Hawking said they were finely adjusted. What he wrote in his book, A Brief History of Time, is that they appear to have been very finely adjusted. And then I quoted for Ross a NASA astronomer, Mike Brown. This guy manages their planet database of all the planets we've discovered, over 1,000 now. So they keep them all in a database with all the characteristics that we've learned about these planets. And he says this: before we ever discovered any exoplanets outside of our solar system, we thought we understood the formation of planetary systems pretty deeply. It was a really beautiful theory and clearly, thoroughly wrong. That's NASA. admitting something you do not hear on 60 Minutes, and you will not hear from the New York Times or the mainstream science press. That's NASA admitting, in a moment of special candor, honesty, that our theory of how planets would form is completely false, based not on our ignorance, but on what we have been learning, on knowledge. This knowledge, this scientific discovery, has falsified our theory, which means, by the way, that atheists now do not have a generally agreed upon theory of even how a solar system would form, unless it is the theory that has been proved wrong. That's the theory that they all, that most of them still agree with. And they think they have a theory, which they don't. So I added to Mike Brown's quote, Ross, the theory of how our solar system formed was idiosyncratic. You know what that means? That means it was about just one thing, about just one person, about one thing. It didn't actually develop from an objective study of the laws of physics, but like with so many grad students' theses that explain the inexplicable, our theory of planetary formation flowed out of the desired conclusion to explain our own solar system. Now, that theory of how planets form has been solidly contradicted, that is, it is thoroughly wrong, by the amazing characteristics that we have discovered from exoplanets. And not only from exoplanets, even from our own solar system. The theory never actually even explained our own solar system. Like, for example, Jupiter shouldn't be there by the theory, but there it is. Okay. So I continued with Ross in the email, and I realize it's taking a while to read with comments, but the whole email is maybe half a page if you printed it out. Ross, I interviewed physicist Lawrence Krauss on such matters because he and NASA, and everyone in fact, say that it's the predictions of the Big Bang that confirm the theory. So I decided to write a critique of that claim. So for 2 years now, when anyone uses the search term Big Bang predictions, Google ranks my article as number one out of hundreds of thousands. As we follow the Big Bang model through to the formation of galaxies, stars, and planets, we show where the predictions fail throughout, and they're undermined by the laws of physics. So, Ross, if you'd like a recommendation for a guest to take the fine-tuning side of a discussion, and then I recommend an IEEE-winning physicist who endorsed our video, Evidence Against the Big Bang, which you can find on our website, kgov.com/Big Bang. Hey, this is Bob Enyart. May God bless you. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. Hey, have you seen Real Science Radio's video, Evidence Against the Big Bang? It's available on DVD, Blu-ray, or download. Our goal is for millions more to be able to answer correctly and with confidence the number one most important question, where do we come from? Evidence Against the Big Bang is available at our website, rsr.org. Just click on the store or by calling us at 1-800-8-ENYART or 1-800-836-9278.